Wishing you a beautiful Wednesday, and I hope you have a lovely day. So continuing on with our topic this week of our inner child versus our adult self, I hope you enjoyed yesterday's audio, and also I hope that you understand the topic. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way, but sometimes when we're talking about our inner child, it can be a little bit confusing as to what it really means. And really, it's just that younger aspect of ourselves that sits very, very firmly within us. And what I found really interesting today was when I went onto Facebook, an article about your inner child versus your adult self actually came up as a suggested post. Surprise, surprise, I'm talking into my phone, so Google hears it. And then all these articles comes up. But I took a little snippet of it, and I just wanted to actually read it to you because it explained it very, very well. Just kind of repeating a little bit of what I said yesterday before we move on with today's teaching on it. So this is the article. You're a smart, well-rounded and well-educated person. So why is it you keep making the same poor choices over and over again? Why do your relationships in your life suffer because of poor communication? Why do you sometimes feel as though you have no control in your life? Why do you feel low self-esteem or rising anxiety? It could be because your inner child is in the driver's seat. And if you've ever seen a six-year-old drive, well, that says it all. Our inner child is part of us. Actually, it is us at one point in our life. But even though we grow up physically, a part of us still remains that child. This can be good in terms of play, fun, and just looking at life with the wonder of a child. But when our little inner child is in the driver's seat, making life decisions that children have no business making, that's a whole other story. Fear, anger, jealousy are just a few of the simple ways that our inner child can sabotage us without meaning to. Addiction and other dangerous behaviours are some of the more serious issues attributed to allowing the inner child to make adult decisions. Once you can identify whether or not your inner child is in charge, you can begin to change the patterns and behaviour that are keeping you from creating the life and relationships you want and deserve. And that's what your life is all about, getting the things that you deserve and having it in a good way. So I thought it was a really good synopsis and roundup of everything that I was trying to say yesterday and probably talked in riddles. So what I asked you to do yesterday was to look and say that your inner child is obviously an aspect of yourself, like we've been talking about, but I wanted you to look and see, could you see any correlation to things that have gone on in your childhood that created certain feelings in you, and then you were therefore acting those feelings out now as an adult? So whether it created panic or overwhelm, whether it was creating you to, you know, sulk, whether it's creating you, like what the article said, you're actually making decisions from that younger place. So if we're younger and we're in a place of maybe fear, or maybe you just had no responsibility at all when you were a child and you kind of just did whatever you wanted and you were very spoilt as well, or you just had like free rein for things, you can find then as you grow up that you're actually still in that same mode. And the thing is, like, when we're adults, we have to think as adults. We have to keep that part of our inner child alive that brings the playfulness side, the creative side. Think about when you're a child, when everything seemed so magical and you were in awe of things. And you know, think of a child now. Like, think of how children are now and the creativity and the magic and the fun that's around them. They're the aspects of us as a child and our inner child we want to nurture, we want to keep, and often we want to bring forward. The best way I always deal with inner child work when I'm doing readings with people, and it comes up strongly, and it only came up very strongly for someone about 2 weeks ago, when I could see in the cards that at 4 and 5 years of age, they actually, like, a little switch went off. And the switch was that they were in quite a toxic environment growing up, and they actually at that age learned, I need to be a different way. So the childlike aspect of themselves nearly switched off at that very young age. And this person is now 72 or 73, I think. And I was saying, God, for like almost 70 years, that real deeper inner part of you, the creative, the magical part, the fun, vibrant part that I could see there back at that part of her life, had never come back out. So there's good and bad aspects to this. Like, we don't want the sabotaging behavior through the overwhelm, the low self-esteem, any of those things to keep cropping up and sabotaging us. But actually, by allowing ourselves to be more creative, more magical, more easy on ourselves, we can overcome those things. And as this article says, is your inner child in the driving seat? You know, are you trying to get a response from different things? I talked about this about 3 weeks ago, I think, when I spoke about what do we get from certain behaviors in our life. So I was saying that I used to get colds and be sick a lot when I wanted a break, not because I was run down, but because I mentally was just like, I just need a bit of space. And I always remember when I was younger that when I got sick and stuff, my mum always really, really minded me, and she was so good when anytime I was sick. And she's still the same now. If there's anything ever wrong, like, she like really just like minds us so well. And it's so lovely. But I think I actually related that to, okay, if I get sick, I get minded really well. So in my adult life, I was doing that instead of just minding myself. You know, it's like a memory of, oh, okay, well, if I'm sick, I'll be minded really well. Not that I wasn't minded well when I wasn't sick, but you know what I mean? So we develop these things. So when we're looking at our inner child, I often think of a particular time or age in your life where these different things were starting to happen, maybe where you were learning the panic or the fear or the worry was there. And then think of yourself at that age and think of a child at the same age. So say it's 7 years of age. Think of a seven-year-old now. How would you treat a seven-year-old? How would you speak to a seven-year-old? And think of how you speak to yourself and how you treat yourself. And there's that saying, if you wouldn't say it to a child, then you shouldn't say it to yourself. So part of our passions and behaviors and sabotages are how badly we treat ourselves. Part of why we have low self-esteem, why we suffer with anxiety or panic, again, is pressure on ourselves. Would you want a 6 or 7 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10-year-old or 12-year-old even to feel like that? Absolutely not. So I think the article is really good. Yesterday I was asking you to think of the times when the inner child stuff, you know, that you can relate to, or you can see similar patterns or behaviors from then. And then now think about whether your inner child is in the driver's seat, as that article was pointing out. Is it making your decisions for you? This week is really just a week of delving in the sense of getting a better perspective on it. I think for deeper inner child work, I would have no problem teaching that here. I think it can bring up a lot of stuff, and I just don't know if this is kind of the right space, because like I said yesterday, I'm not a psychotherapist, I'm not a counsellor, and I don't want to do something that could bring you into a negative space or an emotional space without the proper support there. So this week is just dipping into it and getting a recognition of it. I remember years ago when I used to do meditation, I would actually see myself as a child. And I was doing a lot of inner child work at the time, because I was going to counselling at the time, and I was doing loads of healing, getting loads of healing work done on me at the time. And I used to see her, and I used to like see her, see myself, and all these different things. And they always say, like, write a letter to your seven-year-old self and tell her how things are going to be or whatever. But I remember then I just decided that someone told me, you know, see your inner child in a like a lovely place, whether it's a playground or somewhere really happy. And I used to always see my inner child like on a rainbow, dancing off into like really magical space. And I did loads of work on visualizing that happening. And I actually used to be very emotional when I'd be meditating on that, because all those sad parts that I would have experienced in my life as a child would have been very prominent, and they were causing issues for me at that time. So watch her walk away, I used to get really emotional about it, because I'd be like, God, I wish I could actually really nearly revisit that time and tell myself how things would be and how they turn out, and it would all be fine. So when I see her on a rainbow or whatever, and it took months. And now when I see that aspect of myself or go into a meditation and I can see that part of myself, it's just so happy and it's so content, and it doesn't trigger anything off for me. But it can be very, very deep emotional work, and you have to mind yourself in that. But you have to figure out first where your inner child is within you, what good parts, what bad parts are coming out, and how you can work with that. So I hope that all makes sense, and tomorrow we'll go a little bit further into this topic, and I look forward to connecting with you then.